All right, amen. Matthew chapter number 28. So I'm still going around kind of picking up things that we haven't covered in the book of Matthew. I know it's been like a year and a half at least. But eventually one day we will be completely done with this. But for now, we're still in Matthew. And we're going to focus this morning on verses 11 through 15. We're going to look at this conspiracy to cover up the resurrection. And the title of the sermon this morning is Fake News. Fake News. So basically what we're going to do is we're going to uncover some truths about this conspiracy that apply to all conspiracies. And then I'm going to kind of leave you with a little bit of an application, but a cliffhanger as well, because we're going to turn those application points at the end of the sermon into a series. So with that being said, one point this morning that we're going to prove and I'm going to kind of uncover and show you is this fact that oppression comes in the form of deception. Okay, it's one thing you're going to see about any kind of conspiracy or just about oppression in general, which literally is what this does. Okay, this lie here about the resurrection, what does it do? It oppresses people. It stops people from achieving salvation. And of course, this is just one of thousands that are out there, but we don't need to study every single one of them to get good at understanding truth and discernment. What we need to do is understand the ones that the Bible gives us, dig into those things, uncover the principles that are here, and that's going to help set us up to be a good discerner. People. So with that being said, let's start to dig in here and uncover the first one. So look down at verse number 11. So the Bible says, "Now when they were going, behold, some of the watch came into the city and showed unto the chief priests all the things that were done." Remember that last phrase there, because we're going to come back and kind of break that down here in a little while. Now look at verse number 12. It says, "And when they were assembled with the elders and had taken counsel, they gave large money unto the soldiers." Now, it doesn't mean they gave them large, supersized coins. It means a large amount of money. And I bring that up because somebody had tried to use this in a video as a proof text on why we shouldn't read the King James Bible. Okay, but more on that another time. Absolutely ridiculous. Look at verse 13. Saying, okay, so after these Jews give money to the soldiers, verse 13, saying, "Say ye," okay, so this is what their orders from the money givers are. Okay, "Say ye, his disciples came by night and stole him away while we slept." In verse 14, "And if this come to the governor's ears, we will persuade him and secure you." Okay, so the first thing right off the bat here, okay, that we need to see, and you've probably already seen this, is the statement here in verse 13. Okay, the problem with this statement, look at it. It says, saying, so the Jews want these soldiers to say something out to the people in town and spread this narrative. And this narrative is, well, his disciples came at night and stole him away while we slept. Think about that. Okay, if they're all asleep, which is extremely unlikely, I would go as far as to say impossible. If they're all asleep, how are they going to know for a fact that his disciples came and stole him away? People that are sleeping are asleep. They're not aware of what's going on around them. So how are they going to wake up and be like, this is exactly what happened? Okay, where's the proof? Why, you know, where are the questions surrounding that? Okay, that's what people need to, the way that we need to learn to think. So right off the bat, the first thing I would say, any kind of conspiracy, any kind of narrative that someone is trying to pitch to you, no matter how great, whether it's from the government, the media, somebody at work, someone in your family, doesn't matter. Okay, the first thing you need to do is to be able to pay attention to what is being said and to be able to think about it. Okay, think about, are there any inconsistencies here? Is this even logical? Is this even possible here? Okay, but think about how many people are probably burning in hell right now who've believed this lie without even ever questioning it, okay, without ever even thinking, wait a second here, how do these soldiers know for a fact that it was the disciples that even stole more? How can they say that if they were all asleep, okay? And so that's just the first thing I wanted to bring up there. It's very, very easy, low-hanging fruit. Now let's back up to verse number 11. We're going to do some practice here, okay? Verse number 11, again, reads like this. "Now, when they were going, behold, some of the watch came into the city and showed unto the chief priests all the things that were done. Okay, so obviously these guys know some things were done. They've seen some things. They understood some things that shouldn't have happened. Okay, and they're freaked out by it. Now, just for by way of introduction, let's just kind of practice what we've been talking about the last year, or at least the last 6 months, okay, which is what I always say when you're studying something, anything, but especially in the Bible, when there's something we don't know, we start with what we do know. Okay, so let's say we don't know exactly who the watch is. We don't know who the governor is. We don't know why the chief or why these soldiers went to the chief priests instead of their command. We don't get that. Okay, let's just pretend for a second we don't know that. So let's go and gather some facts here. Now go to Matthew chapter number 27. But obviously keep your place in Matthew 28 because we're going to keep coming back to that this morning. So Matthew 27, look all the way down in verse number 62. So the Bible says, verse 62, "Now the next day that followed the day of preparation, the chief priests," now notice these three groups here, okay? "The chief priests and Pharisees came together unto Pilate." Okay, so this is obviously after the crucifixion, immediately afterwards, you have the chief priests, Pharisees, they've come together unto Pilate. So you have religion meeting government. Okay, that is what you have here. Verse 63, "Saying, Sir, we remember that that deceiver said while he was yet alive, after 3 days, I will rise again." Now, my question is, if you don't believe this, and it's such a fact that Jesus is not God, didn't do any miracles, why are you worried about it? Why are you concerned about this in any way, shape, or form? Okay. Well, obviously, they think that his disciples will come and steal him away. That's one. But look at verse 64. "Command, therefore, that the sepulcher be made sure until the third day, lest his disciples come by night and steal him away, and say unto the people, he is risen from the dead, so the last error shall be worse than the first." Now that is, if you're on their side and you put yourself in their shoes, I can see how they would not want to see that happen. And maybe some of them actually believe that they would do that. That's highly likely. That's okay. But for the most part, if it were me, I'd be like, I don't believe it's even possible. You know, just let it go, right? If you really don't believe it and you're really not worried about it, like you say, if you got control, again, why go through all the trouble? Verse 65, "Pilate said unto them, ye have a watch. Go your way and make it as sure as you can. So they went and made the sepulcher sure, sealing the stone and setting the watch." So again here, okay, what do we have going on? Understand the picture here. We have the chief priests, we have the Pharisees, not even the government, okay? Pilate's just like, whatever, you know, this is your deal, okay? And that's how he keeps talking to them, like you have a watch, you know, here are these people, this is your narrative, you know, go make it as sure as you can. So you have the religious establishment here, you have this leadership, they want to control the information. Look how bossy they are, too. They're just like, sir, you know, command that this stone, or that nobody comes by and steals him, and make sure that this doesn't get out, and blah, blah, blah. Okay? So we can see that, but we understand here that they believe that his disciples will come, take the body out, and then obviously say, oh, see, we were right, he was resurrected. Okay? Now, let's answer the question here. What do we know about this watch? You know, I've heard a lot of bantering back and forth online, not amongst our people, but just, you know, in general, saying, well, this was the Jewish watch, these were the temple guards and things of that nature. But let's go back to Matthew chapter number 28. So we know, so far, we know that it's the chief priests and Pharisees that have the narrative, okay? They believe, and they were worried, that the disciples would come and steal him away. They went to the government to ask permission and for help to make sure that that doesn't happen. And the governor said, hey, you have a watch, okay, and you're going to see that he gives them some people and says, go make it as sure as you can. Basically like, hey, if anything happens, it's your fault, not mine. Okay, and then what else do we know? Well, we know that some of that watch came back and told the chief priests some things that were done because they saw that things were done that were impossible to be done. Now, Matthew 28, again, look at verse number 12. So again, who are the watch? Who are these people? Are they temple guards? What are they? Matthew 28, 12. And when they were assembled with the elders and had taken counsel, they gave large money unto the soldiers. okay, unto the soldiers. So the Bible tells us that they were soldiers. And so the question becomes, how do we know that they're not just temple guards? These aren't just Jews that could have fallen asleep, because that's what some atheists will say. They'll say, well, these weren't Roman soldiers. They were actually untrained Jewish guards. Okay, and that narrative is out there still. Okay, well, we know that the Bible says that they were soldiers. Now, go back to Matthew chapter 27. I'm not going to have you turn there, but if you wanted to write down, you could write down this verse, Ezra 8, 22. And in Ezra chapter 8, verse 22, the context is the Jews have come back into the land. They have been allowed to come back into the land. Remember, they were taken captive by the Babylonians, and then the Medo-Persian Empire had eventually conquered Babylon. And so now the Medo-Persian Empire is in charge of what's left of the southern kingdom of Judah. And they're allowing them to go back and build. And during that process, when you read through the book of Ezra, there's resistance, okay? People in the world, people in the kingdom, they don't like that. They don't want that to go forward. So they start to hinder the Jews that are building and hinder the work that's going on there. And Ezra writes this. You can just listen to this. He says, "For I was ashamed to require of the king a band of soldiers and horsemen to help us against the enemy in the way, because we had spoken unto the king, saying, the hand of our God is upon all them that are for good, that seek him, but his power and wrath is against all them that forsake him." So what can we learn there? Well, chronologically, okay, that is pretty much leading up to the time period before what we're reading now, okay? And so we can see that once the southern kingdom of Judah lost their king, lost their government, got taken captive, became basically a province of world empires, they were no longer allowed to have a formidable army, thus having soldiers. So when they needed soldiers, what did they do? They had to go to the government. That's what you see in Ezra. That's what you see here in Matthew. So these were soldiers from the Roman government that Pilate allowed the chief priests and Pharisees to have. Again, look, are you back in Matthew 27? Look at verse number 2. So it says this. So what we're going to do now, let me back up here. Okay, we've got who the soldiers are, okay? In Matthew 28, verse 14, you don't have to turn there, but the chief priests and Pharisees said, "If this come to the governor's ears, we will persuade him and secure you." Okay? So who's the governor? Well, you're there in Matthew 27. Just a quick reminder, look at verse 2. It says, "And when they had bound him, they led him away and delivered him to Pontius Pilate, the governor." Okay. Now, why is this important? Now, you could leave your place there for now and go to James chapter number 2. So why is this important? We've got the chief priests. They offered money and protection to the soldiers of the watch. We know that Pilate said, "You have a watch." It was obviously made up of these Roman soldiers. Now, were there Jews there hovering around? Probably. There's all kinds of people. It just says there was a large watch. But what do we know? Well, we know that the Jews plus the Roman Empire are both obviously corrupt, right? You say, how do we know that? Well, we know that because in the story here, when the soldiers go to report the things that are done to the chief priests and Pharisees, they don't say, "Wow, what a miracle. Wow, let's go and check these things out." What do? They want to stick to what they want to believe in. See, here's something, another, just a little tip you got to understand about anybody who's trying to lie to you or force a narrative down your throat, okay, is oftentimes the reason why they can't see truth is because they don't want to. They want to believe this. The chief priests and Pharisees here, they are afraid and they're already upset that they've lost control over their man-made religion. So they're upset and they want to believe that Jesus is not from God, but the evidence is overwhelming, the proof is overwhelming. So what do? They just jump straight to money. Okay, and they offer these soldiers money. Okay? And everybody's heard what happens to people when they fall asleep on watch. There's still laws in the books today that would put soldiers to death for falling asleep. I'm not saying that that happens, but those laws are still out there and on the book. There's very harsh punishment for soldiers that fall asleep while on watch. But especially back in these times, there's countless records and books and evidence out there that these people would have been killed. Okay, but it's kind of crazy when you think about the story, how these soldiers, they go to the chief priests and Pharisees, they say, "Hey, this and this is done, all this stuff, you know, this is really weird," and they're just like, money. Hey, they give them money, and then these guys take it. Hey, they take it. Now, you got to ask yourself, well, why were they so quick to take the money knowing that the typical punishment was death? What does this tell us? What does this mean? Well, I think that at this point in time in the Roman Empire, and even history will definitely confirm this, is that both institutions are highly corrupt, and everybody knows this, okay? Look at the confidence there in verse 14 of Matthew 28. You don't have to turn there, but just think about it, okay? They were like, hey, if the governor, so if Pilate gets all up in arms because this happened, okay, don't worry, we'll persuade him, we've got it, okay? So you see that merger there. And so I bring all of that up to tell you the next tip, which is to follow the money when possible, okay? Any kind of narrative, this mostly applies to the government and to the media and things of that nature, fake news, trying to shove that down your throat. Follow the money when possible, okay? So for example, an easy one we're going to talk about here in a minute, pharmaceuticals, okay? And some people take them. I'm not against you. I don't care. I don't have time to play doctor. Okay. I don't want to. I don't care. Okay. I live my life. I do what I do. That's it. Okay. But we all know there are some things out there that they force on young people, on older people, and we can see the evidence. I mean, we can see people dropping like flies, people dying, people having even worse problems than before they started it. Okay. And what typically happens? Well, somebody goes on these different medications, they develop new symptoms, they pump them with new medications, and then people croak over and they die, you know? But of course, in that process, what happens? Someone gets rich. Someone gets a lot of money. So in today's day and age, there is the internet. There are ways for us to track the money when possible, okay? So before we dive into that, you're in James chapter 2. I'm going to have you keep your place there, but go to 1 Timothy chapter number 6 real quick. 1 Timothy chapter number 6. So the first thing that we uncovered this morning, right, was the question, how do sleeping people know for a fact what happened? Okay? And so that tells us with any kind of narrative that we need to look for inconsistencies. We need to look for logical things fitting together. We need to question, okay? We need to gather statements. We need to look at facts. That's what we have to do as God's people. So in other words, we have to move from the known to the unknown. That doesn't just work for Bible study. That works for anything, okay? Anytime somebody is trying to pitch something to you and you're just like, I'm not sure, something in my gut is not, it's just not jiving, okay? That's okay. That's that way for a reason. You go back and you look at what is known, which you can verify with proof that you know, and you go from there to the unknown. Sometimes you figure the unknown out, sometimes you just don't, okay? That's it. The next thing we're going to talk about here is following the money. Following the money when possible. Now, here's why. 1 Timothy 6, look at verse 10. So the Bible says this, for the love of money is the root of all evil. A highly misquoted verse in the Bible. A lot of times you guys will hear this, somebody be like, well, the Bible says that money is the root of all evil. It doesn't say that. It says the love of money is the root of all evil. Because if you love money, right? I mean, think about this. You love money, then what you love has control over you. It will dictate what you do, your decisions, your thought processes, all of these different things. Nothing wrong with having money, but does money have you? And as God's people, we are told not to allow that to happen. Okay, so for the love of money is the root of all evil. We can use money, but we should not love money. And then he says this, which while some coveted after that they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. Now, he's not saying that these people lost their salvation, but he's simply saying they've made shipwreck of their faith because they fell into deception. They fell into this love of money cycle, and it derailed their progress. It derailed their ability to work for the kingdom of God. Now, go back to James chapter number 2. This is the verse of the week on the bulletin, which we don't have, but it's all good. You got your Bibles. James 2 verse 6 says, but ye have despised the poor. So one of the rebukes that James had about Christians was that they were starting to become respecters of persons, and they were starting to look at poor people as people that could not contribute and things of that nature. And he says, but ye have despised the poor. And then he says this, do not rich men oppress you and draw you before the judgment seats? So he asks this rhetorical question, this question that answers itself. It says, do not rich men oppress you and draw you before the judgment seats? Well, why would people that are just following the Bible and living their lives, be drawn before the judgment seats? Well, take a look at the disciples. Okay, take a look at the Christians in the early days. Take a look at Christians today. It's because people lie. People deceive. Okay, people deceive. And so I told you one of the things that we're going to uncover, and this is the most important one today, is that oppression comes in the form of deception. Okay, oppression comes in the form of deception. Take a look at any dictatorship. Okay, go look at North Korea. Just go type in North Korea on YouTube. And anytime you see their leader, Kim Jong-il, anytime you see that guy doing anything, he's drinking a bottle of water. He's got 10,000 people behind him clapping and singing. Okay, why is that? I've never seen anybody that excited to watch someone drink a bottle of water or take a sip of tea. Okay, there's something going on. Okay, and it is deception. And well, part of it's deception. The other part is the fact that they're just oppressed by a rich guy that will kill them if they don't act happy. So there's that. But a lot of those people in that country are definitely deceived by their government. They think that's the only way to go, the only way to live. And that is sad. And then, of course, you have us out here in the West, especially in America. We think, oh, you know, we're free, but our freedom's just coming under attack. Okay? And I will tell you, it goes much, much deeper than that. Much, much deeper than that. It goes all the way back to what we just read in 1 Timothy chapter 6. Okay? This deception that is in the world today is so strong. The fake news is so strong that it pierces down even to the fundamental Christian today. Okay? I mean, think about it. The love of money, as simple as that. The devil, your flesh, can come together and basically cause you to develop a love for the money, develop an interest in things that are not true, and just completely derail your course, get you off track. The devil knows he can't take you to hell. He can't really do anything. But what he can do is walk around you and evaluate your life and have his minions walk around you and evaluate your life and look for an easy target, look for an easy way in. And oftentimes, what he's going to do is set up some kind of deception, set up some kind of a hook with good-looking bait. You bite, you're gone. Okay, you are hooked, you are in big trouble. And one of the things that we need to understand, the reason why we need to just not mock the term fake news or false narrative, whatever you want to call it, conspiracies, is because oppression comes in the form of deception. And we are a free people. We're in Christ. The Bible says where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. And we have liberty in Christ, and we need to understand how to act like it. We need to make sure that we maintain that. Okay, and that liberty is knowing truth. Where does truth come from? It comes from the Word of God. We talked about that on Wednesday. So, oppression comes in the form of deception. I was typing this out last night, and this is no joke. Brother Joe Maples, he goes to Verity Baptist Church in Sacramento, California. So I just got done. I'm looking at this. I'm like, hey, it makes sense. Kind of flows good. It's true, whatever. And he sends me this video on Rumble. And it's about the latest pharmaceutical spike protein sauce. We'll just call it that so I don't get completely dropped from this from YouTube yet. Okay, well, it's about that. Now, back when they were developing this pharmaceutical spike sauce, okay, back, I don't know, 2020, right? Maybe 21, I forgot. But there was a nurse on TV, and I believe she was the first one to get injected by this. So she gets injected by this and stands up 15 minutes later, faints, passes out. I'll bet many of you have probably seen the clip. If not, I'll show it to you after the service. So he sends me this, and this guy explaining what happens and says that she dies. Okay, see, I didn't know that. I didn't know that she died. And so he's looking this up, and he's like, you got to look into this. So I'm looking this up. I'm supposed to be writing this, but now I'm hooked because this is kind of what we're talking about, and he just sent me this. And I'm like, this is interesting. So I go to NBC News. Okay, I go to, you know, mainstream news, Roman news empire, right? That's what I go to there, and of course, we all know who owns the news. Okay, it's the same two groups in Matthew 28. Okay, that we're dealing with today. And we'll get into that here in a second. But I go watch this quick, like, five-minute deal about Miss Tiffany Dover. Well, you can write that down. Look her up later. Tiffany Dover. Okay, she was the one that fainted. And there's all kinds of articles, if you type her name into Google, which basically say, hey, this is a debunked conspiracy theory. You know, Snoop's debunked it. This person debunked it. She's alive and well, alive and well, alive and well. Okay? So they interview this woman, and she has blonde hair. And this woman is like, you know, I'm alive, I'm here, I don't know why people think that I died, and this is just really bizarre. But the way she's speaking is just red flag after red flag. She's nervous. It's awkward. You can tell if you've got, you know, some experience dealing with people that are lying to you, you can tell she's lying. You can tell that she is an actor, probably from an intelligence agency or something. Okay, it's not the same woman, especially when you do a close-up. And the comments on there, on that video, are absolute straight-up gold. If you want a good laugh, you want a good belly roll type laugh, just go look that up and start reading the comments. People are like, now I'm convinced to take this magical secret sauce because now I know for a fact I can take it and disappear for 3 years and come back. And people were saying all sorts of things like that. It's just crazy, you know. So even the world, even a lot of people in the world are like, you know what, this is straight up garbage, okay? But those people that can see that truth and see through that lie, you know, how many of those people can actually see real truth? That's the question. How many of those people can actually tell you how to be saved? You know what I'm saying? What real truth is, that God has preserved his word and all the things that we're really about, okay? So I say that because in the world, you have people that are definitely oppressed. We can see it. It's crystal clear. And then you have people that seem like they're free. Hey, you know, I understand all conspiracies. I've got this stuff going. I understand. I'm not going to take this. I'm not going to take that. But they're still going to die and go to hell. Okay? And then you have people like us where we're even closer to the truth. We have the truth. It's in front of us. We read it. We study. We meditate on these things. Okay? And yet from time to time, people in our circles get carried about with every wind of doctrine and all these things creep in. And guess what happens? They go into oppression and they don't even see it. Okay? That's how good the devil is. Oppression comes in the form of deception. So back to Matthew chapter number 28. Matthew chapter 28. So again, okay, the first thing we talked about, right, was the narrative that the chief priests and Pharisees wanted the soldiers to say, which was tell everybody that his disciples specifically came and stole the body away while you guys slept. And we said, how could people that are asleep, first of all, know exactly what happened? And second of all, how would the whole watch of disciplined soldiers, you know, be able to do this? And everybody probably knows at this point in time, especially Pilate. I hope Pilate at least thought this before he died. Like, wait a second. You guys were the ones that delivered him up for envy. You guys were the ones that I said, hey, here's your watch. Make it as sure as you can. Okay? How did you fail? You know, hopefully those questions were asked, but probably not. And then the second thing we talked about was follow the money when you can. Hey, follow the money when you can. You know, we have a lot of people dying today. It's not being reported by mainstream media. You're having to go to alternative sources to get that information. And not to say that everybody that takes it, I know people, even in our movement, that have had to take this, okay? And they're alive well. God can protect you. So I'm not trying to, like, spread fear or anything like that. I'm just simply saying we need to question some things, okay? We need to follow the money. And oftentimes you will arrive at the truth. So, again, Matthew chapter 28, verse 12. And when they were assembled with the elders and had taken counsel, so remember these guys all got together and said, what are we going to do? We can't let the truth get out. Okay, guess what? That happens every single day in the White House. That happens every single day in just about every government capital in the world. Okay, what are we going to do to prevent the people from finding out the truth? They gave large money unto the soldiers. Okay, they gave large money unto the soldiers. Verse 13, saying, say his disciples came by night and stole him away while we slept. So obviously, you know, these guys didn't put a lot of thought into this, as far as I'm concerned. Not a lot of thought into this narrative. Verse 14, and if this come, and if, notice that, they're like, this might not even happen, but if this come to the governor's ears, we will persuade him and secure you. So again, what does that tell us? That tells us, beyond a shadow of a doubt, that obviously the head of Judaism at this time and the Roman Empire, the government, were corrupt. Okay? And it's the same thing today. Okay? The religion of the world today is human achievement. People say, well, what's the fastest growing religion? Doesn't matter. You can say it's Islam, you can say it's Catholicism, you can say it's Mormonism. It doesn't matter. It's human achievement. It's I must do something to inherit eternal life. That's what it is. It's human achievement. Either way you slice it, it's corrupt. It's absolutely corrupt because it is not of the truth. And no matter what empire is ruling the world, guess what? They're corrupt. You say, oh, well, Trump's going to save us. No, he's not. Okay, he's corrupt as well. Oh, I'm going to email you. Verse 15. So they took the money. Okay, and they took the money because they believed the narrative. Not, I don't want to say they specifically believed the narrative, but they believed that these The Jews had enough power and money to actually protect them. Okay, they believed that at least. So they took the money and did as they were taught. So they went out and they spread this disinformation. And this saying is commonly reported among the Jews until this day. So here's something you need to just also be aware of. Remember your D's. Okay, what the religion of the world and the reigning world empire will do is they will attempt to delete you or delete a truth, delete a situation, or they will attempt to defer it, put it off for a while, like Epstein's list, right? We'll put this off for a while. We'll eventually maybe we'll release it, whatever, okay? Or they'll delegate. Okay, delegate this to something else. That's what the Jews have done here. They've delegated to who they view as the Goyim. Okay, well, let's you guys go out and tell this narrative. You guys go tell the story. Or they'll just start to diminish. If those don't work, if delete, defer, delegate don't work out, they start to diminish. They start killing people. That's what they do. Sorry, but that's the truth. Okay. And so all of that to say this, understand that you can't trust the Jews and you can't trust the news. So there you go. Came to church this morning for that. Go to 2 Timothy chapter number 2. Okay, and we'll look at the next thing we're going to uncover here about fake news. And that is question the official narrative on everything. Okay? Anything coming from the realm of human achievement, anything coming from the realm of the world empire, okay? Which is right now America. I don't care what America, China, Russia, doesn't matter. Okay? World government. Anything coming from those two that we're supposed to believe, you got to question it. Question everything. Here's why. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 26. Remember, if we want to be a people that can live free of oppression, we have got to be a people that can live free of deception. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 26. And they that recover themselves out of the snare, we're going to build up to this here in a minute. I just want you to see this, okay? And that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil, who were taken captive by him at his will. We know people in human achievement and in the world, the same people basically, okay? It's the same group when you really think about it. What does the Bible say? The Bible is giving us a truth here, that they are taken captive by Satan at his will. Okay, that is very important for us to understand. Now, same book, 2 Timothy, go to chapter 3. Okay, so the first thing we need to understand, okay, question the official narrative on everything. Why? Because people that are in that system can be taken captive by the devil at his will. And here's what the devil does. 2 Timothy 3, look at verse 13. But evil men and seducers shall wax worse. And worse, now look at this next word, deceiving and being deceived, okay? So Paul telling Timothy a very, very, very important fact. Evil men, what are they going to do? They're going to seduce, okay? They're going to deceive. They're going to wax worse and worse and worse. And what do? They deceive and they themselves become more deceived. They start believing their lies. It's kind of like if you've ever looked at anything Joe Biden has said, okay? Just watch the, what is that lady? The White House press secretary, okay? You want to see some serious examples of this right here? Just watch news reporters asking her about the economy. You know, they'll be like, so what is Joe Biden going to do about the polls? You know, he's just getting smoked in the polls. Okay, what do they say? He's doing great in the polls. You're looking at the wrong ones. Okay? Or they'll ask questions like, hey, what's he doing about this situation in the economy? And they'll say, well, don't forget that when we inherited this administration and took over, the economy was in shambles. It's like, they're not even trying to hide this stuff anymore. I mean, their lies are just, it's mind-blowing. Okay? Why is that? It's because of this right here. Evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. They're so deceived with the lies that they've been paid to tell, that they're actually starting to believe them, and in their minds are even making up worse ones and regurgitating them back out into society. And the rest of us are like, are you serious? Is this like Babylon Bee? Like, is this some kind of a comedy show? Is it like half the time when you turn that stuff on, you know, if somebody sends you a news clip of these people, it's like, there's no way they're being serious. You know, you, like, has anybody seen those clips of AOC saying that, you know, we should go to the sun but go at night? I don't even know if that's true. It doesn't really matter because there are people that dumb in the government. So just saying. Now go to Revelation chapter 12. We're going to go back to 2 Timothy 2, and then we're going to wrap this up. But go to Revelation chapter number 12. So again, we're talking about this. Question the official narrative on everything. Okay, what can we learn from the conspiracy in Matthew 28 verses 11 through 15? Hey, well, we can learn a lot. We can learn that we need to check stories, check narratives for inconsistencies, for things that are illogical. Okay, we need to gather statements, compare them to facts. We start from the known and we move to the unknown. And then we said we need to follow the money. Anytime we're being fed a narrative, hey, believe this, take this, drink this, you back up and say, well, wait a second here. Okay, hold on. You know, I wanna look at the money. Okay, here's an example. Here's one that a lot of people have bought off on, and I'm just going to say this, you know, is the red wine industry. Okay, well, take this much wine because it's good for your heart. Okay, you follow the money on that in those studies, and you'll find out that those studies have been paid for by red wine companies. And you start to look at what we know about red wine. We know that the wine that is available today in stores is like 10 times stronger than what they even had in the Bible days. Okay, and I don't want to get off on that right now, but there's a lot of wrong surrounding that. So again, follow the money. And of course, the main point is that oppression comes in the form of deception. Okay, once we understand that, we know that if we want to remain free of oppression, we have got to become a people that are not going to be subject to deception. We're going to be able to pinpoint lies and things that are not true being fed us. I don't care if it's by somebody who's holding up a King James Bible on a YouTube video and they're like, hey, you can't have a Christmas tree. Okay, look, you need to check the facts. You need to be able to discern truth. And I'm going to show you how to get there. But we're talking about now, question the official narrative on everything. We know that the world system is full of people that are caught in the snare of the devil. They can be taken captive by him at his will. We know that as the day approaches, evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. Now, Revelation chapter 12, verse 9, look at this. It says, and the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth, look at that word, deceiveth what? Deceiveth the whole world. He was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. So all that to say this, the devil is all about deception. Okay? Now the people in the world, the people in his religion of human achievement, the people in his world government, he can take them captive at his will. Okay, now go back to 2 Timothy chapter number 2, and we'll start to go through how to block this, how to shield this. Okay? Now, of course, the name of our church, Shield of Faith Baptist Church, obviously we want to make sure that we have that shield so that we can block these fiery darts from the wicked one, okay? But we know that the devil is about deceiving the whole world, okay? And guess what? We are ambassadors in this world, and he would love nothing more and does love nothing more than to deceive us. If he can deceive anybody in here on anything, whether it's to turn you over to money, turn you over to material goods, turn you over to some weird conspiracy that gets you out of church, something. You know, flat earth. Okay, let's fight about that. Something you can't even see. Okay, you know, but guess what? People will develop this obsession with flat earth and then they're gone. They're out of church. Okay, it's just weird. It's bizarre. And that's one example of many. Okay, but the devil's goal is to come and look. How can I get you to stop knocking on these doors? How can I get you to stop spreading truth? Okay, everything that the Jews have done here, the chief priests and Pharisees have done in this chapter throughout the Bible, okay, is really what the devil does on a large scale to the entire world. So, now, let's back up and look at something here. 2 Timothy chapter 2, look at verse 23. Okay, here's a little bit of application for us. It says this, but foolish and unlearned questions avoid, knowing that they do gender strifes. Now, there are some times where people may ask us a question and we seem like, okay, this is pretty foolish, but they genuinely just want to know the answer, okay? If they're willing to listen, teach them, okay? And that's what he's going to tell you next, verse 24. And the servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach, patient. Okay, and of course, it's our job to discern, is this somebody that's even going to listen? Is this somebody that I can even teach? Okay, we'll get into more of that later. Verse 25. in meekness, instructing those that oppose themselves. Okay, do you think that the people in Matthew 28, verses 11 through 15, the people that believe that narrative would be opposing themselves? Of course they would. Of course they would. They're out there saying, no, the resurrection didn't happen because the Roman soldiers were asleep and the disciples came away and stole the body. And they're saying this as fact. And it's like, think about this. Just stop and think. People asleep don't gather facts. They gather dreams. Okay? They gather logs or sawing logs or they're asleep. That's what it is. But again, verse 25, in meekness, instructing those that oppose themselves. Now here's the thing. Here's the kicker. If God, peradventure, which means perhaps, if God, peradventure, will give them repentance unto the acknowledging of the truth, that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil, who are taken captive by him at his will. You and I need to just be okay and just come to grips with the fact that there are some people that God has not granted this repentance to be able to acknowledge the truth. Those people are out there, they're alive and doing well and spreading a lot of hate a lot of times. So let's wrap this up here. Go to Hebrews chapter number 5. Hebrews chapter number 5. Here's what we're going to begin to learn and apply so that we can make for certain that we do not become a people that are under oppression because we fell prey to their deception. Hebrews chapter number 5, look at verse 14. And of course, we've been talking about this on Wednesdays, and the writer says this, "But strong meat belongeth to them that are full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil." And so one thing I would say very quickly is that if a person is on the milk, that is great. We need people on the milk. We love to see people on the milk. We love to help feed people milk. We love to help them in any way that we can. But one thing that you need to understand as well, if you're not on the milk, is that people on the milk, what we need to encourage them to do is to get off. Don't be looking up these conspiracies. Put them away for a season. Okay, stop going to these documentaries. Just put them away for a season. Okay, make sure that you can recite and that you understand and comprehend the basic doctrines. Okay, can you explain repentance? Can you explain baptism? Do you understand the laying on of hands and so on and so forth? Do you understand these doctrines that he's about to list? Eternal judgment and all these different things that we've been talking about. Okay, do you understand? Can you tell them? Can you just explain them to somebody else? If you can, okay, now you're available to start heading towards the meat. Okay, again, even Jesus sets this pattern up for us as an example. Now, obviously, he's the Word of God, but he lived his life and left all sorts of teaching aids and pictures and clues and patterns for us to follow. Okay, before he was led to be tempted of the devil in Matthew chapter 4, what did he do? Well, he went out to the wilderness. He fasted. He prayed. Okay, same with John the Baptist. I mean, there's something to this. Okay. Newborns, okay, babes in Christ, they need to put away the noise of the world. They need to stop taking in, this war is going on. Put all that stuff away for a season. Don't worry, it'll be the exact same in 3 months. It'll be the exact same in a year. Doesn't matter. You're not going to miss anything. Put that stuff away. Get it out of your head and you focus on the Word of God. Because by doing that, you're going to begin to develop your senses, okay? And here's where I'm going to leave you for today. We have 5 senses. We have touch, we have sight, we've got your hearing, you've got your smell, and you've got your taste. Well, guess what? You have those same 5 things spiritually. Okay? And that's what we're going to begin to move into in a series so that we can understand how to have our senses exercised to discern both good and evil. The Bible speaks a lot about these, and we're going to need to know how to apply them and in order, again, to make sure that we don't become oppressed, because we also, even though we have the truth, we're saved, we've got the right gospel, we got it all, we can still fall victim to the devil's deception. He just turns the dial up, okay? The closer you get to God, the closer he tries to turn that dial up and get you. And I'm telling you, I've seen it countless times in my short 5 years as a pastor. So again, very quick recap here, okay? Again, we're studying a conspiracy because it can teach us a lot of principles to look at all conspiracies. And the first thing we talked about was the official narrative. Okay, the Jews said, hey, I want you soldiers to take this money. And I want you guys to say that his disciples came away by night while we slept. And we broke that down. That doesn't even make sense. Sleeping people cannot gather facts. And don't give me this, oh, I had an out-of-body experience because I was on this and I looked down. No, you didn't. Okay, you lied. So, looking for inconsistencies, contradictions, we gather facts and then we proceed to go to the unknown, if we can even get there. If we can't, we stop, go about doing something else. The next thing we talked about, again, applies to verse 14. We need to follow the money. Okay, if you're questioning whether or not something, hey, the government's saying we have to do this, believe this, drink, well, whatever. Who's getting paid? Who's getting rich? Why am I having to pay? Who am I paying? Okay, follow the money when possible. And of course, the big one today is understanding that oppression comes in the form of deception. I don't care if you're in North Korea or the United States of America. It doesn't matter. It's the same thing. It doesn't matter. You're in North Korea or you're at Shield of Faith Baptist Church. Okay, anybody can be deceived on some level and just completely derailed, taken off course, and it's bad. Then the next one, the last one, is question the official narrative of everything. Okay, question the official narrative of everything. And what we're going to do about this is very obvious. We're going to make sure that we move from milk to meat, which obviously a lot of us have, most of us have. Okay, but we're always going to have those people that are on the milk. And we need to help them get away from the noise. Put that stuff away so they can focus on getting from milk to meat as fast as possible. You've only got a real short window with these guys. When they come in here and they're on the milk, you got a short window. We need to just swarm them. Hey, put that video away, man. Don't even watch that. Go watch it in a year. Go watch it in a year and 6 months, you know, depending on the progression and how well they learn. Get that stuff away from them. They need to be on this milk, focused only on this truth for now until they can start to digest meat. And then, hey, once you have your senses exercised, then you can be able to see and like, okay, I can take this on. I can take this on. I can take that narrative on. Okay, and only then do you do that. And we're going to learn better how to do that in the coming couple of weeks. So with that being said, let's bow our heads and have a word of prayer. Thank you so much, Lord, for this church, for all that you've done for us. I just pray you bless our year again at this church, Lord, and bless the fellowship and the soul winning today. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. All right, we're going to have one more song here and then be dismissed.